The Guardian. By now, you've probably heard something about smart cities. Cities that use network technology to communicate among different aspects of the hub or with the people who live there. We've even done an episode here on Chips with Everything before about the future of self-repairing cities that can detect problems in their own infrastructure and deploy their own repairs. There's a lot of data flowing through modern cities. The city itself knows how many minutes away your bus is, how many people are using the public library, when the light will turn green again, or how the weather is going to affect traffic, to name just a few examples. London-based artist and designer Nahu Matsuda saw a certain poetry in this flow of information that's silently exchanged across the cities we live in, that we interact with and receive almost without thinking. Over the last few weeks, with the support of Future Everything and Cityverve, Nahu transformed the city of Manchester here in England into a node for data stream poetry in a project called Everything Every Time. As Manchester residents interact with their city, a poem is generated from the data streams. It's really interesting, so let's introduce our guests.
My name is Nahu Matsuda. I'm an artist and designer based in London, and I work with all kinds of things related to technology.
My name is Natalie Kane, and I'm curator at Future Everything, which is an innovation lab for digital culture and festival. Nahu is one of the Faultlines artists, which is an Arts Council-funded programme which basically looks at how artists can have a positive or critical or interesting dialogue with technology and non-arts partners. And what I mean by that is basically people who wouldn't otherwise bring art into situations.
Nahu worked on this with technical support from Peter J. Evans and Dan Hett. Dan wrote some code, basically, that makes data from the city into poetry about the city itself. In Nahu's words, Manchester describes itself through poetry.
It's all kind of data, so it's weather data, it's everything from weather to healthcare to hospitals, entertainment, all kind of data we could actually find about the city that we thought is important for Manchester. So we try to find stuff about schools for kids, how many babies are born, cats, dogs, dance halls, clubs, all kind of events that are happening in Manchester. But then also, yeah, how's the weather, how's the air quality, how's the traffic, how many cars are in car parks and so on.
One of the interesting things Nahu did with this project was to consider ways that bits of data could, in a sense, be stripped of their practicality to create something more universal.
So what I did is I took all the functionality actually out of the data and reduced the data to the most simple sentence I could think of. So instead of knowing that the bus 63 is late on that particular bus stop where you're standing, you will just see a line that says the bus is late. And I was interested in seeing what happens to data if you take functionality out of it. What kind of narrative can be built from data when it's not really practical data anymore?
How exactly do all these simultaneous facts converge to create a poem? How does it all work?
Yeah, so it happens in real time and the signs are on 24 hours. And we have four locations. One is the Central Library in Manchester. One is the University Place of Manchester University. One is in front of City Labs. And the last one is at the Garden Centre in Hume. And then we have a website where you can see the poem as well, everythingeverytime.net.
The movement of these simple poetic lines really does make you think about the life of a city and the people in it. But I kind of thought we could read one of them here for you on the show as well, as it's quite lovely to listen to it while considering, again, that it was composed entirely of information that the smart city of Manchester knows about itself. The sun rises. The streets are empty. Today is the last day of the term. The car park is almost empty. The traffic light turns green. The cleaning shift starts. The bus is on time. And it is colder than yesterday.
Yeah. So there we have it. It's poetry derived from the flow of data in a city. I certainly don't want to detract from Nahu Matsuda's achievement here, but you could almost say she's the facilitator of the poem and the city itself is the poet. What do you think, Ian?
Possibilities are endless for this kind of thing, aren't they? Because the more data that we start taking in from cities, the more varied these poems could be. It also put me in mind of some of those algorithms generating recipes that we came across.
Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah, absolutely. Our guest, Janelle Shane, who used to train neural nets. It's really funny when we enable data to kind of have a life and an expressivity of its own, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, those sort of early artificial language simulators that we all played with on our sort of ZX spectrums, they come up with, you know, the words that you know and that you've inputted yourselves. But it's just the fact that the computer is rendering them in a slightly impersonal, inhuman way just changes the whole tone and changes the inflection of the conversation.
Yeah, and Nahu will go on in the show today to talk kind of about how she stripped away the practicality to create something that was humane and poetic. For now, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll find out a bit more about how the project was developed, what the creators intended, and how people in Manchester have been engaging with the work. Stick with us. We'd like to recommend another great podcast from The Guardian, Politics Weekly. If you're keen to keep abreast of UK and international news and politics, then this podcast is for you. The team unwind the spin and delve into the key issues that drive the people in power. To find out more, go to guardian.com/podcasts or search Politics Weekly in your favorite podcasting app. Welcome back to Chips with Everything. I'm Lee Alexander, and we've been chatting about Everything Every Time, a work of smart city poetry that's just finishing up its installation in Manchester. So if you live there or you've been there lately and you've seen some cryptic lines in public info spaces where you might expect to see bits of data, it's thanks to poet Nahu Matsuda and her tech collaborators Dan Hett and Peter J. Evans. Also, it was Digital Culture Innovation Lab Future Everything that developed this project off the back of a commission by Smart City Consortium CityVerve. Future Everything, in turn, has a talent development program called Fault Lines, which Nahu was a part of. The origins of a city art project like this are always a little detailed, but we think it's important to note everyone who helps stuff like this develop. Here's Future Everything curator Natalie Kane, who I think just does really, really neat work in all her projects.
It was a really new process for us, essentially, because we've always generally as a kind of organisation either worked with an artist and chosen an artist directly for a project, but with this one we had 7 artists in total who all we kind of put this brief out to after speaking to members of the public through our community forums, where we basically asked a bunch of people, what do you see of a smart city? What would you like? What's terrifying to you? What's brilliant? And we kind of did this all through this kind of giving them a bunch of future narratives. And then after all those things have been collected, we kind of got these provocations, which were what we gave to our artists to respond to, and each of them wrote an application, and then we chose Nahu's. And actually, I think the thing that really struck us about Nahu's was that very poetic, abstracted point of it, and the fact that it wasn't trying to be this kind of instrumental tool, it was trying to be this comment, and that's what I loved about it anyway.
Nahu says she's always been inspired by the way companies talk to their customers, the semantics they use, and things like that. In her eyes, the ease of living presented in these clean, smart future projections is not really the whole picture.
I came across an advertisement of a smart city, and it was like a great piece of storytelling, I think. But it was just describing what happens when a little girl spills milk while she's pouring milk for her cat, and how this event triggers a couple of other events. And because she lives in a smart city, she will have milk again, and the cat can have some milk at the end. So it was a cute little story, very well written, I thought. But I thought in real life, this often it's not that straight. It's maybe not that smart. And I was wondering if there still is a narrative if there's no connection or efficiency in data.
And it's not really like data is inherently interesting to people, she says.
The data that we used, data about weather, about the public transport, it's actually quite boring in a way. But I think they're just boring in the context that I'm not parking at the moment. So I sit at home at my desk and I don't really care if it's 3 or 4 free parking spaces. But when you live in the city, I think there's so many little moments that you don't really think about. But when you see them as sentences or in a kind of poetic narrative, they still paint a picture of a city and let you reflect on cities or on urban life and data collection and what it means to live in a smart city.
With everything every time, Naho was also hoping to make residents aware of the sheer scale of all this data collection and how much we're beginning to rely on it all.
I think it's overwhelming and it's a little bit scary. And I think people should be really aware of the data collection. And I also wanted that when people see so signs and see the poetry, that they wonder where the data is collected and if it's their car that is freeing a parking space. So make people wonder about the different sensors.
So Ian, you and I worked together on the episode about self-repairing smart cities. That was one of your ideas. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, so that was with Phil Purnell from Leeds University. And Leeds Uni has been granted amazing access to the city, to its infrastructure, to all the pipes under streets and to lampposts and street furniture. And they're trialling three different ways of looking at how we can get cities to self-repair. So using possibly drone technology to go and repair overhead streetlights or motorway pylons, and to look at the question of potholes, which could sound like a dry subject, but the more you get into it, it's actually pretty fascinating how complicated these things are to repair, how to get the right substance. And these robots are going to be going around Leeds analysing all this stuff and ultimately in 2025 self-repairing the city.
Yeah, that'll be quite the thing. But, you know, as Naho points out, that does sort of require a massive underpinning of very aware infrastructure behind it. And I think that her poem is particularly cool because it alludes to the fact that we do need to keep in mind the human side to all of this information. And speaking of the human side, how have the folks in Manchester been enjoying this public art?
So far, we had really good responses, I think. Oh, I think people are generally really used to have signage and screens in the city. So I think people might think it's an information board or screen, but then the sentences that it displays is not informative at all in the sense that you would expect from a bus signage. So I hope that it keeps a lot of people wondering and reading, keep reading those sentences.
So imagine you're waiting for your bus and you look up at the light up sign to see the bus times. And instead of it saying, I don't know, 63 to Honor Oak in 4 minutes, you'll get something a little plainer and more humane.
For example, if a bus is late, it will just say the bus is late. For the weather data, we had an API where we had the different events, sunny, rainy, cloudy. For rain, it doesn't tell you how long it's going to rain. It's just going to say it's raining or it's not raining. But then it also says things like somebody sneezes or a squirrel disappears or somebody's donating blood, a baby's born. I wanted to make it for anyone in the city who just passes by on those public spaces to think about data. So to, humanize data in that way.
Even when people are confused or frustrated by the displays, the artist hopes that it highlights the discomfiture of data and how it's used and how little control we actually have and how little our permission actually matters. That was one of the things that attracted curator Natalie Kane to Naho's ideas.
It is super overwhelming. And one of the big problems that I guess that people have is like, either them being happy for someone to be quite paternalistic about it and just take care of it and kind of go, you've got this, you can look after that thing. But I think the whole idea of this project that I find quite fascinating is that kind of when people stop and look at it and kind of go, oh, what's it doing? What is it? Why is it doing that thing? Who is that? What's going on? And I think that natural, it's quite difficult for you to like say to, I don't know, normal people like a fireman who just want to go and become a fireman or a person who has to go and feed their kids, your data is being used in ways that you might not like. But if you can just start that dialogue in a way that makes them curious or makes them ask something or ask more, that's what I, as a curator, always find interesting because it's very difficult for you to kind of go full assault, like everything is terrible, everything is awful, but if you can make people discover it in quite a subtle and interesting and, as you said, like kind of very decontextualized way, it can be the start of something rather than anything else.
And the team even came away with some good stories about mounting this unusual installation in Manchester in the odd hours.
Yeah, actually, when we were installing it at 2:30 in the morning, we were joking it being the witching hour for kind of drunk Mancunians coming from either going towards the student district or coming back from a couple of the pubs. And we had a bunch of people obviously wondering what bunch of people were doing, but the minute it kind of came on when there was someone talking to us, I think, and he was just like, why is that? What's going on? What's it? I can't see it. Move out the way. I want to see it. Move out the way. Like, and he's kind of saying, I want to see what you're saying. And another guy came up to him and started looking at it, and they're kind of having a weird conversation about what they thought it was while we were installing it. And they kind of, most people are so used to like a ubiquitous network of signs. It's not what you expect.
No, it isn't really what you'd expect. And don't we kind of come to take for granted that we're just kind of marching toward this streamlined white fiberglass smart city future? A project like this is just disruptive enough to make you think about the invisible infrastructures that are spreading into the air or under our feet and how well they'll continue to be compatible with our messy, fragile urban humanity. So let's read one more poem from the city of Manchester that it generated this morning. It's July 5th, and this poem was written at 11:17 a.m. Someone flags down a taxi. Is someone at the exhibition? The orchestra isn't playing. The food bank is open. Is the Tai Chi class today? Is someone in the bar? The park is quiet. Is someone swimming? And that's all we have this week for Chips with Everything, the digital culture show from The Guardian. If you want to follow the City of Manchester's data stream poetry, check out Everything Every Time. And you can see more from artist and designer Nahu Matsuda at nahumatsuda.com. There are some more events associated with this work coming up from Future Everything, and you can visit them at futureeverything.org. Once again, I've been your host, Lee Alexander, and my producer, who you've also heard from today, is the wonderful Mr. Ian Chambers. You can subscribe to Chips with Everything and all our other great Guardian shows on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app, and please do give us a rating and a review if you like this show. It helps us grow our audience. If you have a cool digital culture story for us, get in touch at guardianchips@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.
Great podcasts from The Guardian. Just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.